Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Test for Enhanced Infringement Damages Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 13, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Halo Electronics v. Pulse Electronics, which was consolidated with Stryker Core v. Zimmer. Both of these cases involved claims of patent infringement relating to the sale or marketing of various inventions. Both also involved a determination by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit that an award of enhanced damages for infringement under 35 U.S.C. Section 284 was not appropriate, after applying the circuit's two-part objective-subjective test for willful or bad faith infringement set forth in In Re Seagate Tech, LLC. The question before the Supreme Court was whether the Federal Circuit's refusal to allow enhanced damages, absent a finding of willfulness under its two-part test, was inconsistent with Section 284, which provides that, in a case of infringement, courts may increase the damages up to three times the amount found or assessed. By a vote of 8-0, the Supreme Court vacated the Federal Circuit's judgment and remanded the case. Chief Justice Roberts delivered the opinion for a unanimous court, which held that the Federal Circuit's Seagate test unduly confined the ability of district courts to exercise the discretion conferred on them by Section 284. Justice Breyer filed a concurring opinion in which Justices Kennedy and Alito joined. To discuss the case, we have Gregory Dolan, who is Associate Professor of Law and Co-Director, Center for Medicine and Law at University of Baltimore School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Dolan.
The issue at Stryker versus Zimmer was a question of when are enhanced damages in patent infringement cases appropriate? In other words, when can the district court increase, as a punitive measure, the amount of actual damages awarded to the patentee? During the early days of the Republic, with the very first Patent Act, Congress mandated that any adjudged infringer has to pay thrice the amount of damages actually caused to the patentee if the person is actually found to be infringing the patent. Eventually, however, this mandate gave way to a permissive grant of authority to district courts. Instead of the word shall, Congress began to use the word may in the middle of the 19th century. And that persisted up until the revision of the Patent Act in 1952, under which we presently operate. During the development of the law in district courts and circuit courts, and ultimately in the Federal Circuit, which has the sole authority for patent law as an appellate court in the United States, there were various questions as to how to find that case, which case is appropriate for such enhanced damages. Ultimately, the Federal Circuit, in a case known as In Re Seagate, sitting en banc, unanimously decided that in order to assess these type of damages, these enhanced damages, a certain test needs to be met. They called it the objective-subjective test. What it meant is that in order to assess enhanced damages, the conduct of the adjudged infringer had to be objectively baseless or objectively culpable. So meaning that there is no objective basis looked at from the reasonable person perspective under which the conduct could be justified. What that meant is that if a adjudged infringer had managed to advance a non-frivolous defense, whether defense of patent invalidity or defense of non-infringement, even though the defense ultimately failed at trial, and even though the defense perhaps was not even thought of before the infringer began his infringing activity, the objective test necessarily failed. So as soon as there was any non-frivolous argument advanced at any point in litigation or pre-litigation, the case was not sufficiently exceptional to justify enhanced damages. In addition to it, not only must the conduct have been objectively unreasonable, the Federal Circuit said, the conduct also had to be subjectively culpable, meaning that the accused infringer, ultimately a judged infringer, had to have a culpable state of mind. So had to actually subjectively behave improperly and subjectively want to hurt the infringer and steal their ideas and their invention. And so the Supreme Court granted cert to decide whether or not that subjective-objective test was a proper test to apply. And there were some hints that the Supreme Court will reverse the Federal Circuit because just last year, in a very, very similar case, that dealt with increased damages, but with award of attorney fees in patent cases. The Supreme Court also reversed and abrogated the Federal Circuit's subjective-objective test in that context. So there was lots of speculation that the Supreme Court will follow what it did last year in the context of Section 284, which deals with enhanced damages, what it did in the context of Section 285, which deals with award of attorney fees. And the Supreme Court did just that. Justice Thomas, writing for a unanimous court, noted that the statutes used the word may, which means it's a discretionary authority to given to district courts, and to be judged by totality of circumstances. He further noted that the objective part of the test is somewhat problematic because it actually allows the worst kind of infringers to not be punished for their conduct. The court noted that there may be a hypothetical infringer who explicitly goes out and tells his engineers and designers and manufacturers to explicitly go and copy the device without any regard for the patent, without any regard for the fact that the device is protected, without any investigation as to what validity or invalidity of the patent. So acting in a very culpable state of mind, but only because that same person may be able to advance some sort of non-frivolous defense later on, even though that the person was completely unaware of such a defense at the time that he engaged in a culpable conduct, he would be immunized from the award of enhanced damages. And the court viewed that as wrong. The court viewed, reiterated that these enhanced damages are really punitive in nature, and they're meant to punish really egregious conduct. The court did warn that this doesn't mean that simply because somebody was aware of the patent, in and of itself, should be enough. The court stressed that the conduct that is complained of has to, in fact, be egregious and exceptional in order to justify the award of enhanced damages. But what is egregious and exceptional, instead of kind of having this rigid two-part test, the court says should be left to the discretion of trial judges under totality of circumstances standard. And that was kind of the second part of court's opinion, because the Federal Circuit reviewed the award of enhanced damages in a tripartite approach. For example, the finding of on the first prong of the objective test was reviewed de novo. The finding on its subjective part was reviewed for abuse of discretion. Under clear error standard, and the overall decision whether or not to award fees and enhanced damages was reviewed by abuse of discretion. The Supreme Court did away with that as well. They said overall, the final decision should be reviewed for abuse of discretion, just like it was decided last year with respect to attorney's fees. So the Supreme Court abrogated this two-prong test, objective-subjective standard, and instead said it's about the totality of circumstances, it's about figuring out how culpable the person's conduct is, and said that appellate review must be by abuse of discretion standard. Justice Breyer, joined by Justice Kennedy and one other justice whose name escapes me right now, but three justices joined in a concurrence. So they did not decide from the court judgment, they actually fully joined it, but wrote a concurrence to explain their own views of how far this opinion goes. And the concern expressed in the concurrence was just an admonition to the lower level courts, something that the majority also made, I think, fairly clear, but that Justice Breyer wanted to put really a fine point on, that even though the test for award of enhanced damages has been relaxed, no longer requiring objective baselessness, it does not follow that every case where a person has known about the patent should be tagged with such damages. Furthermore, the court reaffirmed a congressional decision that the mere failure to seek advice of counsel on whether or not you are infringing a patent is also in and of itself not sufficient to justify award of enhanced damages. And that kind of, from Justice Breyer's perspective, makes sense, because oftentimes some unscrupulous patent holders, and there may be a few of them, but nonetheless they do exist, they send letters to far and wide claiming that their patents are being infringed and asking for settlements, oftentimes sending these letters to small businesses who don't have the financial wherewithal to hire attorneys to investigate every single patent. And so the concern is that if just mere knowledge of the patent would be enough, then such bad actors on the patent market might just start blanketing small businesses with demand letters notifying them that they hold the patent and then immediately suing with demand for enhanced damages. So the court and then concurrence especially clarified that mere knowledge is not enough, and mere failure to seek advice of counsel, especially when such advice is expensive and the business small, is also not enough. So ultimately, going forward, I think is going to be a tally of circumstances, including how sophisticated the company is that's infringing, how what did they know about the patent, when did they know about it, and how did they deal with these questions? Did they seek advice of counsel? Did they seek advice of engineers? Did they purposefully try to copy a patent, which was in fact the case in the underlying case of Zimmer versus Stryker versus Zimmer? In Stryker versus Zimmer, a judge and infringer actually directed their engineers to copy the patented product, but ultimately was held not liable for enhanced damages because they managed to present a erroneous, although non-frivolous, defense at trial. So I think in those cases, in cases like that where somebody is actually explicitly copying the patent, enhanced damages might be available. But for cases where somebody merely knows about the patent, probably not much will change. So that is the case of Zimmer versus Stryker. I think it is a change in the law, but it's not a sea change. And ultimately, I think it will redound to the benefit of legitimate patentees and to the detriment of really egregious infringers.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.